Amen. Amen. And at this special time, I'm going to call up Pastor Jim, and he's going to lead us in the message today. Let's give him a round of applause.
Let's give a big hand for Pastor Tim and his support. Amen? Yeah. Before I get ready, we're going to get a sound check going. The mic sounds good, Jim, but if we can just mute all the stage mics and all instruments, this way we can cut back on some of that feed. Amen. There it is. Perfect. Perfect. We got that feedback or whatever, the stage stuff. We got a lot of power up on that stage. There's a lot of power, and I want to thank God for that power up there. Before I start, I just want to take a moment of silence. If we could just bow our heads for a moment, close our eyes, and just begin to think of His awesomeness, His glory, His grace, His love, His power and His might. Thank Him for being in our lives. Thank Him for His comfort. I truly believe that when we knit our hearts together like this, no weapons formed against us shall prosper. As we begin to glorify Him in a corporate setting and thank Him and praise His name, I believe we're intertwined and knit it together as a three-stranded cord that is hard to break. Not one of us is greater than the other, and not one of us is insignificant than the other. We're all equal in the eyes of Him. But when we come together in a corporate setting, one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. We're putting 100,000 together right now. And He knows our heart. And as we lift our hearts up to Him, He sees. And as we come corporately together, we have multiple of angels that come and work on our behalf. If we did this alone, we would only have 1,000. But as we do this together, we have hundreds of thousands. This is a mystery. And I'm here to reveal the mysteries of heaven. So look at us as one. And believe that we're one. I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Believe in your miracle. Believe in your miracle, because we just sent off 10,000s of 10,000s of angels. Amen? And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. I come with a Rhema word every Sunday. And Rhema word is a word for now. It's a now word. That's what Rhema means. It means a now word. God is speaking, and He speaks through an individual. That's what they call prophets in the old. But I look at myself as just a child of God, a son of God, who is in that place walking with Him in the cool of the day, in the garden. And God speaks, and I'm here to relay what God is saying in this hour. Every week is a message of what God is saying in this hour, in this ministry. I don't know what it's like in other ministries, but I know in this ministry, God is speaking, and He's speaking to us in this hour. And those that are intertwined, as the pastors are here, we speak to one another, and His word is confirmed. That's exactly what was on my heart. This is exactly what I felt God was saying to us today. And so it's not by accident that we truly hear the Rhema word of God. We hear the voice of God. And it's nice to know what God is saying, isn't it? Because God is doing something. You know, God is alive. And He's the ruler and the authority of this universe and the whole world. And
You know, he's orchestrating everything. God is in control of everything. But I also want you to know that darkness is roaring around too. Now, one of the main ingredients that we talk about spiritual warfare is within our own self. Darkness is constantly working within the soul, lying, causing us to worry, causing us to fear, causing us to fall from his grace, get discouraged, backslide. You know, and what I mean by backsliding is God isn't on the tip of your tongue all the time. God isn't always in the back of your mind. You know, we get consumed with the responsibilities and the things that we have to do in the world. You know, just like my testimony about my machine, you know, it stole my life. It stole my mind. It stole my heart. I was all worried and concerned, and I was full of fear and based on my situations and circumstances. But what was the outcome? You see? And God always knows the outcome when we walk with him. And why I emphasize when we walk with him is because God has all authority in our lives. But when we walk with him, it's, I want to kind of give you an example. He's our comforter. He's our shield. He's our buckler. You know, he's our fortress. When we walk with God and we have him in our life at all times, he's in the back of our mind. He's on the tip of our tongue. He's on our heart. He walks with us. And when he walks with us, it's like having a fiery hedge of protection. When he's deep on our tongue, thick on our mind, and real heavy on our heart, the fire protection is like a blazing fire all around you. I mean, the furnace is like thousands of degrees hot. And darkness can't come and penetrate it. It's fearing it. It's scaring. It's frightful. It's like, and doesn't want to come around it. But when that furnace, that fire, shrinks, when he's not as thick on our mind, or as deep and heavy on our heart, or not quite at the tip of our tongue, the fire goes down. It gets light. Some things can come through. Sometimes the fire goes completely out. And then we're subject for all types of attacks. How many people are following me on this one? You know, God is ultimately in control. And I always tell everybody, the enemy has no authority over your life. God has subdued all darkness, all wickedness, all attacks, everything. And I say to comfort you, to glorify God, to want him more in your life, to thank him more. But I have to also let you know that when we tend to be consumed and our minds are consumed with more, I want to say, distraction, because I know myself, I get distracted a lot. I know myself, I'm subject to a lot of things that take the thoughts of God and his control in my life and how he supports me and comforts me and all that. I get distracted. How many are like me? And the things of my duties, my household duties of raising children, raising a wife. I want to say I raise a wife. I take care of her. I comfort her, you know. I was sharing with a brother earlier today. I said, what makes a man is one who can comfort his wife, you know, one who can say everything's going to be all right and then come to us or as a group and we cry on each other's shoulders. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? The whole world's falling apart. Don't worry, we'll do it together. You know, in the meantime, hon, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be okay. That's a true man. That's a true father. That's a true husband. And, you know, God is the same way. He wants to comfort us in that way. He wants to put that authority in our lives to where everything's going to be okay. But at the same time, we have to be with him. So let's take a wife or a spouse, and that comfort of a husband isn't there. He's traveled a far land. You know, he's distant. What's going to be on her lips? Where are you at? How come you're not here? Don't worry, hon. Everything's going to be all right. But you're not here. I don't know how to deal with this. You're not here. You're just not here. If you were here, everything would be okay.
But everything's okay. Don't worry about it.
But you're not here. And this is kind of like what God is saying to us today. You know, the comfort in our lives are going to come automatically when we're walking with him. When our hearts are fully connected with him, when our minds and our heart and our thoughts, you know, are the voice on our lips, or the glory of him, just glorifying him in our prayers and our worship, just acknowledging him. God, you have everything under control. You know, it's hard to say those words when everything's crumbling. But when you speak it, everything's going to be okay. Lord, I'm laying this at your feet. Everything will be all right. I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know how we're going to get through it. I don't know what's going to happen. But Lord, you're the greatest. you're the best. You know, when you begin to say those things out of our heart, things begin to change. Supernaturally, things begin to happen. I'm a testimony. And the things that I speak are true. When it doesn't matter how old you are, when you begin to say, Lord, this is an issue. This is a problem. This is a struggle. I'm facing attacks. Because when your mind is troubled, your heart's troubled, they're attacks. And we can't stop them. But those attacks only come when God distances himself from our minds. When God distances, or I should say, when we distance ourselves from God through our mind, through our heart, through our speech. When we come to that place, we should always want to understand that darkness is roaring around like a roaring lion. Darkness is always there to attack us. How many understand that darkness is always there, crouching, looking to devour you? It's there. And you can't stop it other than having God walk close to you. Because God is the one who holds back darkness. God is the only one who fights the enemy. The battle belongs to the Lord. How many of us heard that before? The battle belongs to the Lord. We empower darkness. How many of us know how we empower darkness? Give me one word. Shout out one word. Fear. That's a good one. That is the nucleus of their weapon. Perfect love casts out fear. If we understand what pure love is, if we understand what pure love is, that love will destroy fear. Fear is the enemy's weapon. Fear is like the tanks and the bullets and the armory. It's everything. Fear. But fear breaks down. Fear is like the nuclear bomb. But then you have other little archery weapons like worry. Or how about concerns? Being hopeless. These are all like bullets, darts, small bombs that the enemy works with. And in order to fight the enemy, because he's there, now we have spoke about where the enemy camps. It camps in the soul. It's part of the sin. When you have sin, you know, God distances himself from the soul. But we can control a lot of the outside attacks that come against us because they're there. If we don't bring the soul into subjection and we just fear and worry and have hopelessness and all this other stuff, it's like giving all the weapons to darkness, saying, here, throw them at me. Here you go. I'm giving you an open door to just come and attack me. Here, let me provide you with all the weapons that you need. But when we use the weapons of God, and the only weapon of God is his fortress, is his shield, his buckler, his protection, his comfort. That's the only weapon that God has for us, the fortress. We run into his fortress. And how do we run into his protection? By just having him heavy on our heart. God, you have to be there. God, you're the only thing I have. God, you're the only thing that I know that can fight these attacks. God, I know that you are a way that makes no way a way. God, you're the one. How many people understand this one? Now, this is the challenge. We know it, but how quick do we turn to it? We know it, but how embraced or rooted or grounded are we in it? And this is how I can tell how we can judge ourselves. How quick or how long does your worry hang out? How long and how quick does your fear hang out? When we hear bad news, how much does it consume us? Or are we quick to say, Lord, here it is, and embrace peace? This is where we need to work out our salvation. Work out the warfare in our lives. Strengthen our relationship and walk closer to God. This is how we walk close with God, determining how distant or how long it takes for us to have peace in our lives. If we can bring peace quickly into our lives and surrender to circumstance and kind of try to just forget about it, which I know is impossible, but when we deepen that relationship and we walk closer with God, forgetting about your hardship or problem or, I want to say, tribulation, suffering, the quicker you can let it go, the closer we walk with God. If you're like me, I want to judge my relationship with God. I don't want to just say I have a relationship with God. Yeah, I know God. I want to judge it. How close am I? How close do I walk with him? Do I just confess with my lips and say, yeah, I walk with God, I serve God, I know God, I pray to God, and but yet my heart is in trouble and torment and suffering, and then am I walking with God? Am I close to him? Am I really walking with God? Or am I constantly just trying to war these battles by me crying in the pillow? Because most of our battles are fought by crying in our sorrows, by crying in our pillow, by supposedly praying. But I think, to me, as I grow more and more in him, I look at my prayer as just praising him. It's like, I don't know what to pray for anymore. If he knows all my needs and he knows my future and he already knows what the outcome is, I don't think we can really influence him in any way, shape, or form. God's going to give or God's going to take away. That's just the way it is. How many people understand that one? It's not like if I'm a good boy, God's going to give me more. And it's not like I'm a bad boy, God's going to take it away. Uh-uh. God doesn't work that way. He doesn't do it because you're bad or good or whatever. And because you deserve it, you know, then he's going to bless you. And, you know, it doesn't work that way. Some people may think that way, but it doesn't work that way. God already has your future laid out for you. What takes it away, what robs and steals, kills and destroys, is our relationship with God. That's what takes it away. When we begin to worry and fear, then we're just filling the enemy up with ammunition to destroy. When we begin to start distancing ourselves from understanding the power of God and how he can deliver us, then we're just fueling the enemy to destroy and take away. But if we begin to embrace our relationship with God and surrender to God and accept the path that he laid for us, he turns all things around for the good. And this is the closing kind of statement I want to make. Even when we are faced with a bad situation, God always has a way to turn things around for the good, to make it a good situation. God knows, and he does 50,000 things to our one insight. When we come under pressures, attacks, circumstances that rob our hopes and our joys and our peace, we only see that one circumstance. We don't see the outcome. You see? And sometimes things have to be destroyed or come to a place of hardship and in order for us to come around to him. He's a jealous God. And if we understand who God is, he doesn't want any other gods before us. And the outcome in our life is eternal life. Amen? And God knows what gives us eternal life. And if we can just walk with God on a constant basis, me personally, I feel that the attacks go away. Now, they probably don't go away, but I'm built to take a hit. It's not like I'm not built to take a hit. It's almost like this. When you're frail and fragile and someone hits your glass jaw, you're going down. You're going down for the count. But if you toughen yourself up, you work out, and your jaw gets tougher and tougher, and you take a hit, you're not going to go down as fast. You could take more hits. You could take more punches. And I believe walking with God builds you up like this. I don't believe any of the attacks stop. I would love to say to you, they all disappear. But that would be lying to you. Because you'd come back to me and you would say, I thought you said that God protects me and if I kept them with me and I'm still coming under these attacks. But what I want to say to you is, do they hurt as bad as they did before? Or are you getting over them a lot quicker? Is it not that bad? Before it was really bad. Now it's not so bad. You know, earlier in my life, things were, I would say, my problem was big. But now with my relationship with God getting deeper and I'm walking with him more and more, it's almost like water running off my back. It's like a duck. You know how water runs on a duck and it kind of, we got some ducks and that's how I know. The water just runs off the back of the duck and it doesn't even affect the duck anymore. The duck doesn't get wet and it's just like, no big deal. And that's kind of how my relationship is with God and life. It's not a big deal. When certain situations came up, it was big. It was a big issue. And especially when I try to tell other people, they're like, get over it, because it wasn't as big as them. And I thought they were strong, and I'm like, wow, I wish I could be as strong as they are. But then I realized it wasn't their problem, and that's why they were strong. And then I realized when the same problem came to them, it was even a different story. You don't understand. Yeah, I know I don't understand. It's just like just a week ago I was in the same shoes, but yeah, you were real strong, and I was the weak one, and now look at what happened. I'm strong and good. And look at you. You're like a mess. How many people have experienced that one? And then we're judged over it. But God is just longing to take away all these fears and all these worries. And as we strengthen our walk with Him, and it's as simple as this, just keep Him on your heart. Just know that, you know, He's called you. Somehow or another, he wants you, I don't know how, he knocks on all our doors in different ways. My calling is different than your calling, and I have to be responsible for how God is knocking on my door. And you know, we have choices that we have to make, and we just have to, you know, put Him first. Lord, you put a conviction on my heart, and I have to follow this conviction. It could be whether you go out in the evening, watch a game, or spend time with your kids. Whatever it might be, we have to follow our heart. We can't be selfish, can't be self-centered. We have to follow our heart and serve. I find a lot has to do with serving others. When you serve others and put them first, it seems like your troubles go away. When you are there as a sacrifice for one another, your troubles seem to just disappear. They're not so bad. And you focus on others. And that's a love. That's a love that embraces you and gives you strength. How many of us need strength in this life? You know, if we don't have strength, we fall and we get hurt real quick. And I don't want to ever think that the enemy isn't out there. He is. The biggest enemy is within ourselves. It's the soul. That's the biggest enemy. We call it the Antichrist here. The soul is an enemy against God, and it's an enemy against your spirit. And it wants to destroy you. But at the same time, there's an enemy outside of you that roars and roams. And it's out there. And it brings problems and troubles your way. It brings them. You can't stop them. But what we can do is be built up in strength. If we're frail, we're easily to be beaten. But if we're built in strength, we're easily to overcome. And this is a mystery. It's supernatural. But when we walk in strength and walk with God, He defeats the battles that come against us. And that's where He turns all things around for the good. We are constantly under worry. Constantly. Worry is knocking at our door all the time. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Oh my God, this. Oh my God, that. And I always say this. You have every right to feel the way you feel. Don't beat yourself up for having concerns. But to dwell on it. To keep yourself in that situation. I look at it as like it's a cancer. It starts out small, and then it just begins to corrode, decay, rob, rot, and just makes us worse off, than when it started. How many people understand that one? It slowly decays and robs and steals. But the quicker we can get rid of it, the healthier we get. God restores us. He brings a restoration to our soul, or our spirit, I want to say at this point. And it brings us to new life. And we need to embrace this message that God is saying in this hour. He's saying, I want to just be blunt and say, listen, it's a new way, it's a new season. And God is saying, I'm doing some new things on the earth. Some things are going to really trouble you. Some things are going to just rob you and get you so frustrated, so upset by some of the things that are happening around you. It's going to steal your peace. It's going to steal your joy. So I need you to be strengthened. I need you to be equipped. And your strength only comes from me. This is what God is saying. Your strength only comes from me. It's like God is the kryptonite to the problems. You see? How many people know Superman? And kryptonite is that, what? Black stuff or something? It's a rock. It robs Superman's power, right? It takes the power away, right? Well, the enemy is like Superman. And God is like the kryptonite. And that kryptonite just robs the enemy's power. It just takes it away. And so we need more kryptonite. You know, we need more of this in our lives. We need him encamped around us so that all of a sudden these problems, these issues don't go on for a long time. They're over with like that. I want my problems to disappear in an hour. I don't have enough kryptonite in me. I need my problems to disappear quick. But sometimes they don't. So I say to myself, you know what? Where are you at, God? And God is saying to me, where are you at? I've been here. But you don't have me on the tip of your tongue. You have me heavy on your heart. You don't have me like filling your mind. Your mind is over there. Your mouth is over here. And your heart is over there. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. I need to change the way I'm thinking. I need to get you on my lips. I need to start saying thank you, Lord. Even though I can't say thank you, because what am I thankful for? The whole world is crumbling around me. How can I say thank you? You don't understand. I got an issue here, and you want me to say thank you? But I have to realize that he's the only one that can come and beat my battle. So it's like this. If you have someone in your life that has always been there for you, and always has taken care of your issue or problem, and you call them up, and they say, I'll be there, you can hang that phone up and feel at peace because you know they'll be there. It's the same thing with God. He'll be there. We just have to know that in our heart. And has he not been there before in the past? And this is how we overcome. We overcome by the word of our testimony. He's been there once before. Might not be the same situation. It might be a whole different category. But it's still a battle. And he beat that battle. He won that battle. So, for example, one might be going through a financial situation. One might be going through a health situation. But you know what? They're still battles. It's still a battle. And God has won that battle. Why can't he win this battle? He can. why he's not winning or why is it there is because he just wants you drawn closer to him. The moral is, it's not that if you drifted away, you might have still been there as you always have. But he's saying, I want you to walk closer now. I want you closer. I want you closer more than you ever been. So I don't want us to put a shame or a guilt as if we backslide it. We didn't. He's just saying, I want you to draw nearer to me. You've given me this much of your life. Now I want more. You've given me this much. Now I want even more. He wants to be that consuming fire. My opening statement was that fiery hedge of protection around us, and how when we walk with God close, that fire is like flaming thick. I mean, like 5 feet thick and just fire up here all around us. I remember one time we were overseas. Remember, Kurt? You were there. South Africa, was it? I forget. Was it one of them? And the guy had a vision and saw fire around us. And we were that fiery hedge of, where was that? South Africa. And you were there too, Sam? I know that there was many times where people were caught in the spirit and saw us, and we just had this fire around us. Well, it's easy when you're in a revival, right? You know, we're all praising God, and that fire was flaming. Who knows how that fire was the next week? I'm hoping and praying that that fire is still flaming. And when that fire is flaming, darkness, evil, demons, they all got to flee. They can't look at the fire. I remember one time I was at a auction kind of thing, and there was people there, and there was like one of those vendor type situations, and there was a group of guys who were doing tattoos and all that, and they ran out of oil and or cream or something for the tattoos, and the dude just got a tattoo, and he was like, oh, it's really sore, you know, and I was like, oh, I could take care of that. I got some oil. And I pulled out my anointing oil that I carry sometimes with me. And next thing you know, oil, no, I don't want that. I began to start seeing. Yeah, it was a warlock. And he couldn't have any oil. Not that kind of oil. Cream maybe, but not the oil. And I began to start seeing, these things are real. These things are alive. This stuff is like no joke. They're there. So we have to ask ourselves, do we have that fiery hedge of protection around us? Do we have that fiery hedge of protection around us? Are we walking with God? How close is he on the tip of our tongue and in the back of our mind and heavy on our heart? I want to challenge us this week and the upcoming weeks. When problems are going to come, and they're going to come, they're not going to stop. They're coming. But when they come, let's embrace. Let's just throw some bullets out with our mouth saying, Lord, I don't understand, but I lay this at your feet. Somehow speak to the mountain and get our minds to start believing that it's going to be okay, and comfort our hearts so that the fear and the worry start to diminish and we can eat, we can sleep, we can function. Let us get this stuff out of us and walk with God and watch God. My prayer is always this, Lord, give me a testimony. Give me a praise. I want to praise you, but you got to give me a praise so that I can praise you. Make things happen so that I can praise you. I need a testimony. How many of us here need a testimony? I've had testimonies, but I want a fresh one. And I'm getting to the point where I have a testimony yesterday, and I had a testimony just the other day, and I had a testimony last week, but I want a testimony today. I want a fresh testimony in my life every day, every hour. I want those testimonies, and now I'm like jealous for a testimony. Lord, I want a testimony, and I won't give up. I want a testimony today. How many want a testimony today? Then let's walk with them. Let's work out this salvation, because really, it's salvation. When your fears and your worries diminish, and you can have that trust in God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you're receiving salvation. You're not only receiving salvation on this earth, but you're also receiving eternal life. Amen? Let us just bow our heads for a moment. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. And my prayer is that we not only hear your word, but we begin to apply it. Give us the strength to realize how important it is to walk with you. Teach us and show us how to walk with you, how to cast out these arguments that are in our head and give them to you, that our heart starts to trouble. And we know that we're just mere humans, but you can transform us and bring us into spirit where there is no troubles. Lord, I ask that if there is any worry in this room, you break it away. You break that authority away. Earlier, you had us all bow our heads and take a moment of how great and awesome you are. Let us place that in our hearts again and be intertwined, be knitted together, a pattern of love. And let us put thousands of angels to flight on our behalf. And let the warfare that we all battle be defeated by your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, there are battles in this room that we all face. But through you, you know every warfare, every battle we face. Lord, I ask that you begin to break the lies. I see a big lie. In individuals' lives, and Lord, those lies have to be broken. Without speaking anything personal, I want us to just understand that we each have a battle that we're facing. We don't have to know in detail what battle each one is facing, but know that there's a battle. And if we can just begin to pray for one another right now, your battle will be defeated. Lord, take away their battles. Take away their battles and let them see you. And embrace your own battle as victory. And Lord, thank you for winning my battle. Thank you, Lord, for winning my battle. As we train our hearts this way,
We are walking closer and closer to Him. Your battle is won. Their battles you're praying for. We're putting angels to flight for one another. Somebody's praying for your battle. You're only one individual that is proclaiming victory, where you have 20 others that are sending angels in flight to your victory. Your battle is being won by thanking Him, glorifying Him, exalting His name in your heart. In the meantime, you're helping, sending angels to other battles. At the same time, they're glorifying and thanking God for the victory, sending angels to battle over your battle. How many see that? So when we get out of ourself and we become one with another, we bring the love of God on earth as it is in heaven. And we're strengthened in unity and in love. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise.
Amen.
I'm going to call Pastor Sam up and he's going to close us. Amen. Your battle's won. Amen. The battle belongs to the Lord. I hope and pray we can start rejoicing. I know how hard it is sometimes when we're facing these issues. Listen, there's a lot, isn't there? There's a lot. But there's victory. And that's what we have to proclaim. Victory is more powerful than defeat. If we proclaim defeat, we're defeated. If we proclaim victory, we're victorious. And death has lost its sting. Amen? Amen.
Amen. I was talking to Pastor Kurt before the message started, and Tim during the week, and we were on the same subject. And it was, the subject was this. There's only one way for the enemy to be defeated and for the enemy to flee. That's to resist it. There's no other way. We have to resist the enemy or the enemy won't leave. And oftentimes our battles are here. A past that we can't change torments us, or a future we can't control torments us. Our minds are always here or there, never in the moment. In the moment is God sitting there. There's a phrase Pastor taught me a long time ago, and the phrase says this: who's ultimately in control of everything? In every moment in your life, we should be thinking this way. Not in the past that we can't control, a past that torments us, that we made a mistake, we screwed up, we were horrible. No, 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 it's all lies. Pastor had his Kubota breakdown. First thought in his head was, $10,000. 10 grand. It's going to break me. We let our minds go and wander here and there, but we're not in the moment. In the moment is God sitting there saying, take my hand. I'll never hurt you. I'll never forsake you or leave you. I'm here. Just trust me. You know, we need to get this trust in us. You know, I say it all the time. Listen to the messages. Can't make it any simpler. Keep getting this truth inside of you. Keep getting this. Keep Him always on the tip of your tongue. Keep His presence always with you. You won't wander. Your mind won't go to the past where you're destroyed or the future that you can't control. Why do we worry about these things? We miss the joy of the moment. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. There's no other place to get strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And the joy is in the moment. He's waiting right here all the time saying, take my hand. Let's have some fun. Let's not worry about yesterday or tomorrow. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Stop worrying about everybody else. Worry about yourself. Work out your own salvation. And he'll work out everything else. He'll work out everything else. Amen. Okay, Wednesday night service starts at 7:30. You know, it's a great time. Midweek service, you know, come out. It's really great foundational stuff. You know, it's incredible. So have a great week, guys, and God bless.